well, well. It's supposed to be a windy evening in Cleveland, Ohio. Winds of 20 to 30 miles per hour during the game at Braun Stadium. That's not good for passing, but maybe the wind will somehow blow the ball to George Pickens. Then again, it might make the Browns run more. Not that they need encouraged to do that. Stan made a good point on his show today when I was on. Nick Chubb has never really ripped the Steelers apart. He done okay, but here's the stats. In seven games against Pittsburgh, Chubb has 463 yards. He's averaging 4.4 yards per carry. That don't suck, but it's not overwhelming, so we live in hope. This is Mark Madden. If loving me is wrong, you don't want to be right. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. Or you can follow me on Twitter at MarkMaddenX. I'll be watching the game tonight at the Bottle Shop in Heidelberg. Heading down towards Ridgeville, right on the main drag. So check it out. Double M Steelers viewing party tonight at the Bottle Shop in Heidelberg. I'll be giving stuff away, and who knows? Maybe the Steelers will give the game away. I hope not. The Pirates got killed last night at Yankee Stadium 14-2. I'll give you some of the exactitudes in the Bucco Roundup next segment, but one thing really pissed me off. Really pissed me off. I don't care that the Pirates suck, but they shouldn't piss me off. Okay, it's the bottom of the eighth. Yankees lead the Pirates 14-2. Yankee Stadium. Aaron Judge has 60 home runs. 61 ties Maris. Like I said, 14-2. Yankee Stadium is insane. They want to see Judge go for it. They want to see him hit number 61. And the Pirates chickened out. Some crap pitcher named Stout. I'm not saying Groove won to Judge, but they threw four straight balls. They walked him. They pitched around him. They gave him nothing to hit with the score 14-2 Yankees. Again, don't Groove one, but pitch to him. It's 14-2. It provided great theater in a crap situation. But instead, ball, 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 ball. And the crowd did not like it. They booed like crazy. The Pirates just don't get it on so many levels. But that was the worst. You're up 14-2. History is in the balance, and they won't pitch to Aaron Judge at Yankee Stadium in front of a rabid crowd down 14-2. Get him out. Get him out. But don't just go ball, 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 ball. My God, I'm talking about baseball on a Steeler game day. Any hoodles, I'll do more than that. I was at Penguins camp today. That's where I belong. Penguins camp at the Lemieux Complex. That's where I belong. That's my home. I love it. So all the media types, Jen Bolano and her PR staff. I talked with Sid and Tanger. That's the second time I've seen Sid since the pandemic, up close. And the first time I've seen Tanger. I said to Sid, I feel like we should hug, but I know you don't like that. And Sid laughed and said, well, I'm too sweaty anyway. Sid and Tanger look in great shape. I mean, better than ever. That's a cliche. It's usually not true, but in the case of these two, I really believe it is. It's like Brady. You start preparing for how you're going to play and perform at 36. You start that when you're 16. It's a lifetime thing. Like Tanger said today, you don't flip a switch. Gino's not like that. But heck, not many are. Drew O'Connor looked good. I just don't know what their plans are for Drew O'Connor. Zucker didn't get hurt, so that's a good first day of training camp. Okay, listen. Steelers-Browns. Somebody in Pittsburgh say something about getting fired up. I feel like Cleveland wins. So much for getting fired up, I guess. I think Cleveland wins. I think Cleveland covers. They're now a 4-point favorite. It went from 3.5 to 4.5, and now it's settled in at 4. The best bet tonight is I definitely feel like the game comes under 38. The over-under is now 38. It's cliched as heck to say, but the Steelers need to score first. If Cleveland gets up by 2 scores, their running game will manage the result to a victorious conclusion. Their offensive line, all them guys are healthy. Betonio, Conklin, they missed some practices, but in a short week, you can't conclude anything, and they're going to play. And that Cleveland offensive line can blow the Steelers off the ball. The quarterback debate isn't a topic, or shouldn't be. That said, I'm going to talk about it at 4 o'clock, and I posted a blog about it at WXDX.com. The thing with the quarterback situation is it's all you understand. I feel like Trubisky starts till the bye week, unless he gets hurt. Do you feel like Pickett can come in and save the season? What would make you think that? He's not Burrow. He's not Ben. He's the first quarterback picked in a terrible draft for quarterbacks, and he went 20th overall, not second, like Trubisky did. Kenny Pickett is not Carnation Instant quarterback. It's not that simple. I'm not sure I get what you think he could accomplish this year, and that includes what he could accomplish on behalf of the team. I just don't think they're very good. I would bet, and have done so, against them making the playoffs. I just don't see what the point of playing Pickett before you're 100% sure he's ready is. I think the best fit thing for him might be to do what Mahomes did as a rookie in Kansas City, which is to basically take a red shirt, learn what's going on, start a game or two late in the season, and then begin 2023 as the starting quarterback. Now, let's say the offense looks terrible tonight. Najee can't hit the hole, or there is no hole, or Pickens don't get the ball, or Trubisky sucks, or all of the above. Then, I mean, it depends what you think you can do this season. I don't think they can do much, but the Steelers, for better or worse, never count themselves out. It's like 2019 when Ben's elbow blew up and they traded for Minka, and they used Duck and Rudolph to battle to an 8-8 record, which hurt them. It would have been better to tank the season and go 4-12 and get a better draft pick, maybe even Justin Herbert, if you don't trade that pick for Minka, but the Steelers never think past the next game. For better or worse, that's their approach. Isn't it funny that the offensive line for Pittsburgh, the offensive line's been okay. We all thought it would be the biggest problem, but it's not. Very good analysis by Trey Essex on yesterday's show about what's going right with that offensive line. But who'd have imagined the offensive line would be okay and the offense would still be horrible? It's not on the O-line. It's on Canada. It's on Trubisky. But the O-line, I mean, you can't be too critical when guys are doing as good as their talent dictates they can. And I suspect that is kind of the case with that offensive line so far. Cleveland's secondary is off to a bad start. But between Canada, Mitch, and 30-mile-per-hour winds, I'm not sure that's going to matter tonight. 412-333-WXDX, you tell me how the Steelers can win this game. I'm not sure I'll believe you, but I'd like to hear it anyway. At 3:30, we got our regular hit from Jerry Dulac, who covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. At 4:15, Ray Fittipaldi, who also covers the Steelers for the PG. I think they lose. And it wouldn't shock me if they lost big. I don't think they can stop the running game. I don't think their offense is going to be any better. But if they do win, well, that's a rallying point to get to that Jets game and go 3-1. And then at least you go into the death stretch. You go into playing at Buffalo, then at home against Tampa Bay, then at Miami, at Philadelphia. I wouldn't call it cushion because 3-1 could lead to 3-5, but if 3-1 led to 4-4, at least you're kind of still in it. So again, I can't stress enough. Tonight is extremely pivotal, extremely so, for Cleveland too. I think the loser is going to see things really go bad. Really go bad. We got a lot of crazy stuff to talk about. How about the Celtics coach, Udoka? Suspended for the year by the Celtics for having consensual sex with a female staffer. Boy, it's a good thing that that rule doesn't apply to female sports reporters and the athletes they cover, because some would be suspended for life without the possibility of parole. And don't ask me to name names, because I just might. 105.9 X.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
We're all going to rock to the rules I make.
Double M, big fan.
How you like it now, bitch?
The X at 105.9.
I have people on Twitter criticizing me for criticizing the Pirates for not pitching to Aaron Judge in the eighth last night when they were trailing 14-2, just pitching around and walking him with four straight balls. He's a home run hitter. It makes sense. You're down 14-2. Pitch to him. Entertain. Get him out. Don't groove it, but pitch to him. That brings us to the Bucco Roundup. The Pirates lost at New York 14-2. That's to the Yankees. So they lost four straights at the Mets and two straight at the Yankees. And here's the Pirate media in a nutshell, the stooges and shills that they are. Contreras pitched, and he struck out 10. And a couple of the Pirates' stooges and shills tweeted how great that was. He got 10 strikeouts against the best lineup in baseball. Okay, but Contreras also allowed a grand slam in the first inning and 6 runs in 4 2/3. So Contreras did not pitch well. And then on pitching the Judge in the eighth, that's absolutely embarrassing. And that is the Bucco Roundup. In that vein, one of the Steelers fanboy websites tweeted that Joe Haden will always be remembered as a Steeler. Bro, Joe Haden is retiring as a Cleveland Brown. Joe Haden doesn't even remember himself as a Steeler. Let's go to Brad, Indiana. Brad, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark. Hey, tonight's game, I look at it between the offensive line doing a decent job, not great, but decent. Canada's offense, and Trubisky, all three of those things put together leads us to where we're at right now, which is playing in our fears, living in our fears, afraid to throw the ball deep, afraid to throw the ball over the middle, and what you're getting is Mitch Trubisky looking very poorly, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think Mitch has covered himself in glory, but I don't think it's all his fault. I think that Matt Canada is the biggest villain in this drama. But as I said in the opening, I think the offensive line's done okay, and Trey Essex, who knows what he's talking about, says they've done well as well. So I think it's ironic and honestly a bit funny that they're awful offensively and the offensive line isn't the main reason why. They've done okay. I feel like anytime you score 21 points on the Steelers, you're going to win the game. I feel like if the Steelers don't get defensive points, and by that I mean, you know, something that scores points like Minkah's pick six or a turnover that gives them a very short field to get points, I feel like unless they get that, they have no chance.
The way they're playing right now, it's so limited. They are just trying to win the game by one possession, and you can't do that over the course of time. It's just not going to work.
Well, it's crappy coaching from the top down, but we're not allowed to say that. Let's go to John in Baldwin. John, you're on with Double M.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing today?
What up?
Yeah, tonight, I mean, it's obviously a huge game. I'm feeling a real big game out of George Pickens. I actually caught wind that George has been using his fleshlight a lot.
Yeah, goodbye. I bet you've been using your fleshlight a lot, looking at pictures of George, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's very healthy. Although, if George did use the fleshlight after the way he was utilized the first two games, I wouldn't blame him. Wouldn't blame him at all. I also found, have you ever tried those? I mean, like, it's just, It's not like you think. It's just not like you think. Okay, up next, going to talk to Jerry Dulac. He covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. It's the Mark Madden Show at 105.9.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Double M, what's up, brother?
Hey, Double M.
Well, I love Sally Wiggum, but not as much as soccer.
I think it's the best thing I've almost ever heard.
VX at 105.9.
Pretty big football game tonight in Cleveland. Joining me now to discuss, he is live on the scene at Brown Stadium. He covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. He is Jerry Dulac. Jerry, this game seems very pivotal for both teams. Am I exaggerating, or is that the case?
Well, Mark, I don't, you know, week three of the season doesn't strike me as being a pivotal moment for either team. But I think it might be pivotal for certain aspects of the team, in particular the offense, because they need to generate not only some production, but they need to generate some confidence that they can get some things going. You know, 1-2, 2-1, especially look at the division. Bengals are 0-2, everybody else is 1-1. So from that standpoint, I don't think a win or a loss has any bearing on how the thing is going to play out. But I do think it's a key game for the offense to gain some confidence and show that they can do something.
Well, in that vein, you said in your Post-Gazette mailbag that Trubisky will be the quarterback next week, week four against the Jets, just about no matter what happens tonight at Cleveland. I think the same. I feel like the Steelers see Kenny Pickett as a longer-term project than the fans do.
Well, I think ideally they would like that to be the case, Mark. I mean, you know, they do not – the plan all along is not to throw him to the Wolves. And, you know, and unless Mitch Trubisky came in and was just not what they thought, you know, that this was going to be the plan. And look, Mark, they spent the entire spring and preseason training camp gearing up and planning and doing everything around Mitch Trubisky being the starter. Now, they want to get Kenny Pickett ready, but the plan all along was this was the guy for now that will allow us to maybe win some games, and then at whatever point Kenny Pickett was going to play, and that might be next year. I don't know that that's the case, but right now the short-term plan, and then they'll take it longer if necessary, it's Mitch Trubisky will be the guy who gives us the best chance to win while we
okay
and assimilate into the offense.
What's wrong with the offense? Is it Trubisky, Canada, the line? I know it's not a single thing or a simple discussion.
Mark, I missed. What's wrong with what? The offense? I missed.
Yeah, the offense, because it's not any one thing. We see blame for the quarterback, the coordinator. I think the line's doing okay, but what is making the offense come up short?
Don't forget the running back, too. You know, at least twice in each of the last two games, he has missed some holes. Now, I'm not laying it off on him, but you know, there's no question. I mean, Mitch Trubisky has missed some opportunities, but it goes beyond that too, Mark. I mean, you know, he's restricted in what he can do. I get that. You know, he's a 6-year veteran. Should he be allowed to audible? Yeah, he should be. He should have the freedom to do so. But I get it. He's new to the system, and you got a lot of young guys. He doesn't get to operate the no huddle. And don't confuse a 2-minute offense in a hurry up with the no huddle, because there's no comparison between the two. So he doesn't have that at his disposal. And Mitch Trubisky doesn't want to be the guy who necessarily wins the game, but he definitely wants to be the guy who doesn't lose the game. So conservative and trying not to make mistakes. Yeah. And is that because he has Kenny Pickett over his shoulder? No, I don't believe that for a second. I think it's more because he just wants to be sure, as the new guy, he's not coming in and going to be responsible for them losing a game. And so, you know, Mark, we're seeing what's frustrating to everybody is that they are seeing the same ails from last year again this year. I mean, the exact same pattern. It would be one thing if they were inefficient and they were attacking downfield or different things were happening, but the same thing, nowhere to run, short passes, afraid to go downfield, and when you do, you just don't connect. And we watched that all last year until the fourth quarter of games, until you know who decided the heck on all this.
What about the O-line? Trey Essex was on my show. He thinks they're playing okay. In fact, maybe better than okay, and certainly better than expected.
Well, Mark, one thing I've learned that offensive linemen are like wide receivers who think they're open all the time. Offensive linemen think the offensive lines, you know, they protect them. But to his point, yeah, I don't think they've been horrible. I have seen them open some holes. They don't create it. They don't move people off the line on a regular basis. Their protection has been okay. But sometimes, Mark, what I've been told is when there are protection issues, it's not because of the line. It's because of miscommunications or over what's being called. And so it's not always what it seems. Sometimes the reason for the mistakes, it's not because of the line. It's because the play that was called was wrong formations. So I think it's a lot of things, but it's a lot of the same things we've seen since last year.
We're talking to Jerry Dulac of the Post-Gazette. We got the Steelers in Cleveland tonight. Jerry, brought to you by Bud Light for the fans. Now, you mentioned Najee Harris not hitting the holes. What's going on there? We've obviously seen the same videos, and the video is not complimentary.
Mark, I think the other problem, too, with Najee is that, you know, he is hesitating when he gets to the line of scrimmage. They believe that, you know, he's trying to hit too many home runs. And instead of taking the single and maybe the double, instead of taking the 4, 5, and 6 yards, I think he's trying to turn those 1 yard runs that are happening, or those 2 yarders or 0 yards, into 25 or 30. He's trying to bounce runs outside. That may have worked in college. And look, I'm not saying he can't do it here, but it's the NFL, Mark. It doesn't work. It's not as easy to do here. And I think when not 242 pounds pauses and hesitates and tries to cut, then all of a sudden he takes away the greatest advantage that he has, which is his hot size and speed. Run downhill, when he stops, he's given a defender and pauses, he's given defenders a chance to corral him. And to me, he needs to take the ball and run straight ahead as best he can. You know, he's going to be a one-cut guy at best. But use your size and speed and hit the hole and go and take the 4, 5, and 6 yard run. Eventually, the 15, 20, and 30-yard run will come.
What's your take on Trubisky saying he's not allowed to audible? I mean, he's a 6-year veteran. I just can't believe that. And
was under the same restrictions. Can you, Mark, Ben was under the same restrictions last year.
That's so hard to believe.
It's incredible that last year an 18-year veteran and a 2-time Super Bowl winner was under the restrictions of a brand-new offensive coordinator. But I'm telling you, that was the case. And, Mitch Trubisky's a 6-year veteran. I think he knows how to read defenses. But, like I said, I do get it. He's new to the system. And again, you have some young players. There's some new offensive linemen, and you have some young receivers. So I get that argument, even though I still find it a little bit astounding. And again, it's only been 2 games, but I'm still just a little surprised that he just doesn't have the freedom to audible play. Now, there are checks within each play that you know, he can go to. But in terms of changing the play, he doesn't have that freedom.
That's dumbfounding, and I can't believe Ben didn't rebel against that, and I can't believe Trubisky's not either.
He did in the fourth quarter of those games, Mark, let me tell you. And so that's eventually what happened, because nothing was working. It was like, okay, I'm gonna start calling the plays, and they're gonna go no huddle, and that was the difference in the fourth quarter. Mark, they scored 137 points, I think, in the fourth quarter last year. That was more than any other team. It's the most in the National Football League. And you know what happened in the first quarter of every game? They were the lowest scoring team in the NFL. And the first half, if they weren't the lowest scoring team, they were among the lowest scoring teams.
What can the Steelers do to score more points?
You know, Mark, they're going to have. Ideally, what this offense wants to do, they don't want to be run-oriented, but they want to run the ball. and run it better and more productively. And with Mitch Trubisky, obviously you see him lining under center. They want to do that, and that helps create play action. That helps those rollouts, a moving pocket a little bit better when defenses are thinking, wait a minute, this team can run the ball. They're not, you know, they're going to be on their heels a little bit more. But when you can't run the ball, again, ideally, that's what they would like to do. When you can't run the ball, then all that goes out the window.
The Steelers lost every game last year. Well, tied one. They were 0-4-1 when T.J. Watt didn't play or if his play was compromised mid-game by injury. They're 0-1 this year without him. If he don't play, the Steelers don't win. Is the connection really that direct?
You know, Mark, it certainly looks like it. I like to think that it doesn't, except that he is. It's not just that he's disruptive. It's that the offensive coordinators have to game plan for him. Always be aware of not so much where he is, because we know where he is, but what he's doing. And without him, all of a sudden, you don't have to worry about that. So, that's all part and parcel of it. And there's nobody out there who's even going to remotely come close to providing some of that production, in his spot. I mean, Malik Reed is a nice veteran pickup, a nice solid player, but by no means is he even anything near T.J. Watt. So, you know, he'll step in and he'll hold Ford for a while and he'll be fine. Is he better than John Bostic was a couple of years ago on the inside? Yeah, I think so. But I don't think he's going to go in there and make plays and be any kind of disruptive force. And so, that's a dynamic player on the outside who other teams have to scheme for. And when he's not there, Mark, it's the most important position on the team. That makes him the most important player on the defense.
What's the most telling matchup for tonight's game? Is it the Steeler defense against Cleveland's running game? What do you think will go furthest in determining who wins?
Mark, what was most disturbing to me, we've seen the defense, obviously, in Cincinnati, 7 sacks, 5 takeaways. Boy, I mean, when you do that, what can you say about the defense? Except that they didn't get off the field. Now, I know part of that is because the offense could do nothing and the defense had to keep going back on the field. But what bothered me about the New England game is that they couldn't get off the field at the end when they had to. And when New England could run out 6.5 minutes by running the ball 9 out of 10 plays before they had to take a knee, that to me is a disturbing sign. They knew the Patriots were going to run, and they still could do nothing to stop it. They ran that wide zone stuff. They ran that stretch play with those long handoffs. And the Steelers couldn't stop it. And so when you're heading in to play Nick Chubb and the Browns and Kareem Hunt and that system that Bill Callahan runs with the Browns, to me that's going to be their biggest battle, because Jacoby Brissett certainly doesn't scare anybody.
How will Chooks do against Myles Garrett? That seems to be the most probable matchup, although – Garrett's going to move all over the place as usual.
Right. Right. And I think, if anything, they might try and put him on Dan Moore. But, look, they're going to have to chip on him with a tight end, maybe with a fullback, however they choose to do it. But from an individual matchup, from a Steelers standpoint, it would be the same if T.J. Watt were playing. What would the Browns do to neutralize or try to contain T.J. Watt? The Steelers have that problem with Myles Garrett.
Jacoby Brissett isn't killing the Browns, is he? He's doing okay.
And because he has a running game. And as long as he has that, and they know that, they're perfectly fine with that type of attack. You know, he's very, 22 of 27 the other day? So he's very efficient in that regard. But when you could run the ball, the defenses have to respect that. And that gives him some opportunities to complete passes, because they have to keep guys in a box. The exact opposite is true with the Steelers.
They blew that game to the Jets last week, and that was just horrific. But I got to tell you, the Browns look more organized than the Steelers, don't they? They look like they're closer to being onto something, I think.
Well, and I think that's offensively because of their ability to run the ball. And defensively, because, you know, they have their T.J. Watt with Myles Garrett. And so he makes them better. So I would agree with you, Mark. But I think the big reason why is when you, again, when you have those two running backs, you know, they don't miss Jarvis Landry or anybody like that. You know, I think Amari Cooper is a great pickup for them. You know, I think I would tend to agree with you. But, you know, man, to lose that game, a minute 55 and give up two touchdowns, they'll kick themselves the rest of the year over that one. It's just like the Steelers blowing that 21-7 lead up there a number of years ago and settling for a tie. That tie wasn't a win. That tie was a loss.
Jer, to wrap it up, how do you figure this game's going to go?
I think it's going to be low scoring for one, Mark. I just don't see. I would imagine the Steelers will, you know, Mitch Trubisky, they'll take some shots down the field. I don't think there's a question about that. I don't think we're going to see a lot of points, Mark. I think it's a, you know, 19-17 game, 20-16, somewhere in that regard. But the Steelers have to show, and typically they do okay against division teams. Lamar Jackson, the Browns, for the most part, against the run, but they have to be able to stop that run, because if they don't, that's going to be a problem for them.
Yeah, and just to add one more thing, I mean, I'm very pessimistic about the Steelers now because I think they've looked horrific. But if they win tonight, then they have two away division wins, and that's pretty valuable currency.
Absolutely, Mark, and that's why, I mean, you know that obviously it's a feather in their cap if they can do that because of the division games. And, you know, they did that last year. That's what got them into the postseason. They beat Cleveland twice, and they beat Baltimore twice. Yeah, they lost to Cincinnati twice, but they won four of six division games. And if so, when you could win the division games, that puts you in good stead. So, and if you can win two of them on the road right off the bat, then yes, there's no doubt about it. That's a good thing for them.
Jerry, great stuff as always. Enjoy Cleveland, if such a concept's possible, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Mark. Good chat with you, man.
That's Jerry Dulac. He's brought to you by Bud Light for the fans. We got Ray Fittipaldo next hour. I want to hear how you think the Steelers could score more points. I could ask you what they have to do to win, but I think the answer is pretty obvious. It's score more points. What do the Steelers have to do to score more points? Talk as to why that offense sucks. It just piles up, don't it? Now you got the no audible rule for quarterbacks, which Jerry says stretched back to Ben last year, and I can't believe Ben put up with that even for a second. You got Najee Harris not hitting holes that appear to be there on videotape. It goes to show you. Excrement rolls downhill. It goes from bad to worse pretty darn quick. 105.9.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Yada, 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 yada.
You know what, Mark? I got hard time, and I was wondering if you'd give me some advice.
Do you have any idea how dumb that sounds?
The X at 105.9.
How can the Steelers score more points? We talk about quarterback, we talk about Canada, we talk about the O-line, which is doing better than I think we thought it would. But let's just take all that debate and boil it down into one big debate and one big discussion, which is, how can the Steelers score more points? You tell me, 412-333-WXDX. Let's go to Donnie in Blonox. He thinks he knows. Donnie, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
What up?
Hey, I think we got to give Mitch the keys of this offense. He can't be going up there not being able to audible in all this reporting coming out today. And
well, if I were Mitch Trubisky, I'd go to Tomlin and say, look, you know, this isn't quarterbacking. This is being a puppet. I'm out there. He can call the plays, but a veteran quarterback who started 4 years in the league, let alone Ben, who played for 18, they should have the wherewithal, the authority to decide what's going on. They should have the authority to look across that line and say, you know what? The play call ain't going to work. Here's what might. And then if it fails, it's on him. You see, once I heard that Trubisky didn't have the authority to audible at the line of scrimmage, my first response was, okay, well, I blame Canada that much more.
Exactly. When I heard that, I could not believe it. We're paying this dude $7 million this year to run our offense. And, yeah, he might be a bridge quarterback, but He was a first-round pick. He's got the ability to be a good quarterback. We got to give him the keys. And this Canada, he just keeps getting worse and worse every day.
If you're scared to give Trubisky any leeway at all, then don't play him. But then again, I think Canada's a control freak, which is pretty heady behavior for a journeyman who really shouldn't have the job in the first place if you look at his resume. I give Charlie Batch credit. He figured that out. He heard it, he saw it, and he talked about it, and Charlie was right on the money. Thank you for the call. I'm on a big Elvis kick since I saw the Elvis movie. Lord above, I feel my temperature rising. You know, not a lot of Elvis songs get remade. You know why that is? It's tough to be Elvis. It's tough to recapture that energy, that unique presentation and voice and delivery he had. Although I do think if anyone was to be successful remaking Elvis's songs, it would be me. I should do an album, The Great Elvis Songbook, like Rod Stewart with all the standards back when. This segment brought to you by CW Electrical Services. Make the switch at cwelectricalservices.com. In just 30 seconds, I'm going to bow down to cliche and the repetitive nature of sports talk and talk about the Steelers quarterback situation, because I know when Pickett should play. I know the earliest date. I have a timeline set, and I for sure know when he shouldn't play, too. And you may not agree with me because this involves facts, logic, and reason. That's just around the corner here on 105.9.